Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday. Gosh, I think it's July 14th. Hope I've got that right. At any rate, this is today's paper, the Decatur Herald and Review is where we're going to start. Huey Freeman writes a story for them from Decatur. A few of Decatur's finest are taking to the road to help families of the fallen. Sergeant Brad Allen, Detectives Barry Hitchens, and Scott Rosenberry are riding their bicycles from the St. Louis area to the northern edge of the state to honor local police officers who died in the line of duty and others from throughout Illinois. It is the 12th annual Illinois Cops Cycle Across Illinois event. The cyclists, officers, and family members of fallen officers will be making stops during their four-day, 340-mile journey to take part in dedications for deceased officers. More than 50 riders will pedal from Alton today to Woodstock on Sunday, stopping at the Illinois Police Memorial in Springfield, with other stops including Lincoln, Normal, and Joliet. Rosenberry, a 10-year Decatur police veteran, said he and the other two bicyclists decided to undertake the ride because of what the organization stands for. Donations help surviving family members heal through various programs. "We all like to stay active," said Rosenberry, president of the Decatur Police Benevolent and Protective Association Unit 39. "We all have road bikes, which they recommend for this ride." To prepare, the officers have been riding once or twice a week, often on country roads. "We have ridden about 50 or 60 miles at one time," Rosenberry said. "It's definitely going to be a challenge. That's what makes it fun." The Decatur team has raised more than the minimum of $1,800 or $600 from each rider. The Decatur police officers are riding for three of their own who died in the line of duty. Robin Vogel, a 37-year-old patrol officer, lost her life as a result of an accident caused by a drunken driver while she was driving her squad car on the city's north side on October 3, 2005. Carl Basalki, 35, was shot to death while investigating a possible burglary in a boxcar near the Wabash Railway Station on August 9, 1912. Charles Masterson was killed in April 1911 by a passenger train when he jumped from a patrol wagon onto the tracks, apparently because he thought the wagon was about to be struck by the train. Rosenberry said he is confident the Decatur team will finish the course. "They are very well organized in putting this on," he said of the COPS group. "Many organizations are providing support, including motorcycles. We're looking forward to it." In a little box, they say to help, if you want to donate funds for families of fallen officers, use the donate button at https://ilcops.org/, or you may send a check to Concerns of Police Survivors, Box 4312, Wheaton, Illinois, at 60189. We turn inside now to some of the local items, and I am correct, it is Thursday, July 14th. I see it now on the page here. Inside to some of the local news in the Decatur Herald and Review, this article written by Ryan Voiles, who's an H&R staff writer. "County set to okay tax for ballot. If voters approve, money would aid law enforcement." A potential tax increase to cover the rising costs of law enforcement is likely headed to the November ballot. The proposal, which is expected to be passed by the Macon County Board during its meeting tonight, is called the Law Enforcement Tax, LET, and would increase the current tax from a quarter of a percent up to half a percent. The increase could bring in more than $2 million, more than the current $2.5 million raised yearly by the tax. Money from the tax goes into a fund that helps cover the cost of law enforcement, such as the county sheriff's office and court operations. Once approved by the county board, the proposal to increase the tax will be put up to a public vote in November as an item on the general election ballot. Who knows whether it will pass, but it's something we should offer to the voters to see their feelings on it, said Jay Dunn, County Finance Committee Chairman. Funding for the sheriff's office, as well as the state's attorney's office and court operations, have been stretched as salaries and benefits increase, as well as the need to upgrade equipment and technology. The amount currently raised by the tax is forcing the county to cover the other $2.5 million of the sheriff's budget with money from the general fund, which covers day-to-day county operations. But reserved money from the general fund has started to dwindle as the county entered the current fiscal year with a general fund balance of $5.4 million, nearly $3 million less than the beginning of the previous year budget, and its lowest point since 2007. If the ballot measure fails, Dunn said the Finance Committee will approach next year's budgeting process with the understanding that hefty cuts must be made to the sheriff's office. In other business, the county is expected to approve a plan that will give Decatur Park District police officers the power to use police powers outside of parks. The plan, which has already been approved by the Decatur Park Board, would allow district officers to do follow-up investigations and other types of general law enforcement practices that may have originated in the parks. The plan would not allow them to run routine traffic enforcement or minor traffic violations in between the parks. The plan was unanimously approved by the county's Finance Committee. The county board meets at 6 p.m. in room 514 in the Macon County Office Building at 141 South Main Street. Tony Reed reports on the weather that happened in the Decatur area yesterday. Storm whips through area, triggers tornado sirens, deluge, wind, take down some trees, and cause power outages. A fast-moving weather front barreled through central Illinois on Wednesday evening, prompting tornado sightings and causing straight-line wind gust damage that downed trees and sparked scattered power outages. Tornado warning sirens went off in Decatur and Macon County just before 5 p.m. after weather spotters reported a tornado on the ground west of Niantic. Cloud rotation was also reported over Decatur at Neely Avenue and Mound Road, over a field in Greenswitch Road north of Mound Road, and at Garfield Avenue and Illinois Street. The Macon County Emergency Management Agency said it did not have confirmation of the tornado on the ground, and no tornado-related damage reports have been received by late Wednesday evening. But an Ameren, Illinois outage map did show multiple storm-related small power outages spread across a wide area of Decatur and more extensively in the Niantic area. At one point, the utility recorded that system-wide about 3,000 customers were without power. Tammy Esposito, an administrative assistant with the Emergency Management Agency, said tree damage reports covered an equally wide area. These reports are both from within Decatur and some outside, with trees also reported down in Harristown and Warrensburg, she added. One large tree that fell on North Summit Avenue in Decatur crushed a car, and the Macon County Sheriff's Office said a large tree that fell on Walmsley Road at Allen Lane dragged down a power line. The National Weather Service office in Lincoln said large tree limbs were also brought down in the Mount Zion area. Meteorologist Daryl Onton said Decatur Airport had clocked wind gusts to 46 miles per hour as 1.25 inches of rain deluged the city at the height of the short-lived storm. Wind gusts of 60 miles per hour battered Mattoon, while gusts hit a peak of 70 miles per hour in Peoria, and there were multiple reports of power lines and poles down in Champaign County. I am turning now to the Decatur Tribune online. And to the local news section they have there. There is no indication of the date this was posted. Oh, there it is, Monday morning. So this is an old story about update on officer-involved shooting early Monday morning in Decatur. In conference with the Illinois State Police regarding the officer-involved shooting, which occurred early on the morning of Monday, just after 1 a.m., it has been determined that the person who was shot is Lonnie D. Mitchell II, age 40, a Decatur resident. Mitchell was in possession of both a knife and a BB gun at the time he was shot. The BB gun has the appearance of a real firearm. The two officers who were present during the shooting are Officer Andrew Whitmer and Officer Jason Danner. The Illinois State Police have conducted witness interviews, processed the scene, and the investigation continues. There was one round fired by Officer A. Whitmer during the encounter, which subsequently ended the threat. It should be noted that medical attention was administered to Lonnie Mitchell by Decatur police officers until such time that Decatur Ambulance Service arrived and took over. It's been determined that there is an in-car video depicting part of the encounter, and that video is being reviewed by the Illinois State Police. The Macon County State's Attorney's Office is also in consultation with the Illinois State Police, again, as the investigation continues. A statement from the City of Decatur. Decatur police can now publicly confirm that the subject who was seriously injured in an officer-involved shooting early this morning, that's again Monday, was armed with a handgun and had a large knife strapped to his wrist. Shortly after 1 a.m. Monday morning, an on-duty Decatur police officer received information that a person was in the 800 block of East Main in possession of a handgun. Decatur police officers then responded to the area of Main and Hilton and encountered a person matching the description of the subject that was alleged to have been in possession of a handgun. During the engagement, the Decatur police officer fired his weapon, striking the person. The person was then secured and medical personnel was immediately dispatched to the scene. Emergency medical services, EMS personnel were dispatched to the scene 36 seconds after the officer indicated shots had been fired and arrived shortly thereafter. DAS was on the scene for approximately 5 minutes, providing immediate care prior to transporting the person to St. Mary's Hospital for a gunshot wound to the chest area. At this time, and again, this must have been very early on Monday, the person was listed in serious condition and had been tentatively identified. We now know the name of the person. Okay, I think it's all the same set of information. They do conclude the statement with, "This is an active investigation, and the facts surrounding this incident are being investigated by the Illinois State Police. The Decatur Police Department is committed to providing a fair, accurate, and independent investigation into the circumstances surrounding this officer-involved shooting. Everyone is asked to remain peaceful and reserve judgment until all of the facts are known." Okay, another item here I think might not have been covered before. City Council approves infrastructure improvements, code amendments, and talks goals. Council members on Tuesday approved the latest phase of efforts to fix local storm drainage issues throughout Decatur, unanimously supporting an agreement to prepare preliminary storm drainage designs for the 32nd and Fulton area on Decatur's far east side. The agreement for a fee not to exceed $80,200 with Farnsworth Group will review the area's storm drainage system and generate an action plan for the city consisting of future drainage projects to be designed and constructed to address identified problems. This area is listed as the third priority in the 2009 Stormwater Master Plan and represents a high priority area for reducing the infiltration of storm water into the sanitary sewer system. Improving storm drainage here will help reduce sanitary sewer overflows and basement backups, in addition to reducing area flooding. Other priority projects already being designed include the Baltimore Road Storm Sewer, the Nelson Park Neighborhood Storm Drainage Area, and drainage areas in the Meadowlark Subdivision. In other business, oh yes, I think we read about this. This sounds familiar. Members voted unanimously to amend City Code Chapter 47.3, which currently permits the keeping of horses in the city. As part of the amendment, owners of horses and similar animals will be required to have a minimum lot area of 1 acre per animal and have a minimum 12 by 12 stall enclosed with 3 solid walls to provide shelter for each animal. Also, shelters are required to be at least 75 feet from dwelling houses except that of the animal's owner. Council members also continued its discussion of council goals with plans for a final document to be presented in August. Yes, that all does ring a bell. I still think that's kind of a funny story about the horses. But good to know. Continuing in the Tribune, let's pick up a couple of events. One that's a bit off, but you want to mark your calendar for, and one that's happening this weekend. The one far off is on September 11th. Decatur will host the 8th annual Cruise 11 to Remember 9/11 event. The theme of the day will be Honor Our Heroes to Benefit Our Patriots. The event will take place in Decatur Central Park. Cruise 11 serves as a fundraiser to provide Christmas gifts for Macon County veterans in need. Any and all vehicles are encouraged to participate in the car and motorcycle show in downtown Decatur. Traditionally, many classic vehicles enter, but this show is more about showing patriotism and respect to our first responders and veterans. The $11 entry fee will be donated to purchase Christmas for veterans in need. Show parking and registration will begin in the west side of Central Park at 8 a.m. Goodie bags and magnetic dash plaques will be given to the first 100 entries. First responders and veterans will judge the show. Everyone is encouraged to join the 11-mile B.G. Nevitt Memorial Yellow Ribbon Cruise at 3 p.m. Participants will be given yellow ribbons to show their support of our troops, thank our veterans, and remember the tragedy of 9/11. The cruise will begin at the corner of West Main and Merchant Streets and go west on Main Street to the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel and will return on Main to downtown for the show. Registration forms are available by emailing Ann Production, and that's AYN Productions, all lowercase, at yahoo.com, on the Cruise 11 Facebook page, or by calling 217-791-1385. Donations will be accepted during the event to provide Christmas for veterans in need. The schedule for the day again, 8 a.m., the car and bike show registration with $11 to enter. At 12:30, judging of cars and bikes. Judges will be first responders and veterans. At 1:30, a free entertainment of patriotic sounds featuring Lisa Kay. And at 2 p.m., the 9/11 Memorial Service and Awards. At 3 p.m., the 11-mile B.G. Nevitt Yellow Ribbon Memorial Cruise. So, again, you want to mark your calendars for participating in that big event. And then this coming Saturday, July 11th, take aim at 3D archery targets during 3D animal archery at Rock Springs Conservation Area. And that is from 5 to 7 p.m. Again, Saturday, July 16th. Rotate through lifelike targets featuring deer, bears, turkey, and more. All equipment will be provided, though you are welcome to bring your own. Basic instruction is provided for new or less experienced archers. You meet at the Homestead Prairie Farm in Rock Springs Conservation Area for ages 10 and up. It's $7 per person. You must pre-register online by noon on July 15th, so you've only got to tomorrow. At www.MaconCountyConservation, all one big long word, no caps, .org. Rock Springs Conservation Area is located on the southwestern edge of Decatur. To get to Rock Springs from Decatur, go south on Route 48. Pardon me. Turn west onto Rock Springs Road, or go south on Wickles Road. Is that Wickles? Wickles Road, and turn east onto Rock Springs Road. Watch for signs. Plenty of parking is going to be available. In some other events, the Decatur Audubon Society invites the general public to its second summer meeting on Sunday, July 17th, that's also this weekend, at 4:30 p.m. at the Sugar Grove Nature Center southwest of Bloomington. Decatur Audubon President Melody Arnold will present prairie plant identification. Afterwards, they will return to Ted's Garage Restaurant at 602 South Center in Clinton for an optional evening meal. Attendees may carpool from Sam's Club parking lot, leaving at 3:30. Guests are always welcome. And we've got a couple more meetings here. Interested in joining a book club? The Decatur Public Library offers four different book clubs, and you can drop in any time. You do not have to have read the book to attend discussions, but you will want to. One of the popular clubs offered is Books Between Bites, which is organized by the Friends of the Decatur Public Library and is not a standard book club. There is a speaker that comes in to present about a book or a topic. They meet the first Wednesday of each month at 12:15 p.m. in the Madden or Auditorium. So you missed them for this past first Wednesday, but you can plan on it for August. Also, the Homeless Council Continuum of Care Advisory Council will meet today at 1:30. By the time you hear this, so we'll leave that out. Hey, but how about the Summer Splash 2016 and Gallery 510's 25th anniversary party, which will be held on Friday, that's tomorrow, July 15th, at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. There will be entertainment by the Boat Trunks. Wow, they're a good group, a Jimmy Buffett tribute band. Heavy hors d'oeuvres and one free drink will be available. Okay, this sounds like for adults. Casual dress. Cost will be $40 per person. For additional information or tickets, call Gallery 510 at 217-422-1509. Actually, that sounds like a pretty fun event for adults, and it's happening tomorrow. It's supposed to be pretty hot and muggy again, so jumping around in the pool might not be a bad idea. Real quick, Decatur High School classes of 1959 will have a reunion dinner at Connie McCain's, 401 East Decatur in East Prairie. I'm sorry, in Decatur on Saturday, July 23rd. You got a plan for this, from 4 to 6 p.m. Order from the restaurant's varied menu. Bring any other classmate and spouse. For additional information, call Peggy Roth at 972-3532 or email deergarden@comcast.net. Okay. Boy, some good stuff coming up. Let's see who else here. That's already happened. How about July 18th? The Decatur Municipal Band Concert will be held Monday, July 18th, in Central Park in downtown Decatur. The concert, European Connection, will begin at 7 p.m. and will feature Ted Hartley, tuba soloist, and Brenna Pfeiffer, vocalist. The band will also be giving a preview concert of the Monday show at Fairview Park at 6 p.m. on Sundays through July 31st. The Central, this is over in Springfield. Wait a minute. Decatur High School class of 1954 will have an 80th birthday party for the classmates on Saturday, July 23rd. The dinner buffet will be held at the Southside Country Club from 5 to 9 p.m. The cost is $32 per person. For reservations, call K. Petrucha at 217-428-2545 or Eileen Iverson at 217-877-5626 by Monday, July 18th. So you got to think about it here over the weekend, make up your minds, and get signed up. What's to think about? Sounds like a great event. We're going to take a quick break right now, but then we'll return with a second half hour of news from the Decatur area. And I hope you'll stick with us. We'll be right back.